Hi everyone. First of all, I would like to thank you for having me here today. In this seminar, I'm gonna introduce my work on probing the invisible cosmos from the early universe to the near field. So, if we look into the sky, everything we can see in the universe, including stars, planets, and all the other visible matter, comprise only 5% of the universe. There is a vast of universe of dark matter and dark energy that we don't understand yet. And the fundamental of this dark sector requires the fundamental nature of this dark sector requires new physics to explain. And usually this new physics will lead to different observational consequences. So in this work, I'm gonna use cosmological probes to search for the nature of this dark sector. Here, I listed the cosmological probes I'm gonna talk about in this talk from the early universe to late universe, namely including the measurements from BBN, CMB, 21 centimeter signal, and also cosmic structure. I may not follow this timeline to introduce these measurements. So in this talk, I'm gonna highlight the results from a very early universe, namely Big Bang, namely BBN and the CMB, and also the results from near field cosmology. And I will quickly go through these measurements from 21 centimeter signal and also large scale structure. In this talk, I will also mainly focus on the study of dark matter. If time permits, I will briefly introduce my work on dark energy and also modified gravity, which drives the late time expansion history, accelerated expansion history. Okay, so when we talk about the dark matter, we usually just focus on these three fundamental properties of it. The first one is, what is dark matter mass? Is it light or is it heavy? And the second one is, if dark matter interacts with the standard model. And the third one is, what is dark matter's production mechanism? So these three fundamental properties often lead to different effects on the cosmic history, so which I will talk about in the following. So let's see what can we learn about dark matter from the early universe. Here I'm using the measurements from BBN and CMB. Okay, so this plot I showed the nuclear network of the dominant reactions taking place during BBN, and the production of this light elements are mainly dominated by are determined by the early expansion history and also thermal history during BBN. So if we consider dark matter is a light thermal relic, namely if it is in thermal equilibrium with the rest of the plasma in very early universe, and if it's light enough, then it will affected it will become non-relativistic during BBN, and it will affect the excuse me, cosmic history during at that time. Then it will affect the production of this light element abundance. So this plot I showed the helium abundance as a function of dark matter mass in the scenario where dark matter couples to standard neutrino. We can see that for heavy dark matter, namely for masses larger than 20 MeV, it will not affect the helium abundance. This is because dark matter with masses larger than 20 MeV annihilates before neutrino decoupling. We can see for lighter dark matter, it can affect this helium abundance due to its effects on the cosmic history. Also, in this scenario, dark matter annihilating into the standard neutrino can hit neutrino relative to photon, leading to increase the ratio of neutrino to photon temperature, namely this ineffective. So we can see its effect on this ineffective at smaller with smaller dark matter masses. So we also know that these two quantities can affect the CMB spectrum. Thus, I just present this theoretical curve and together with this CMB measurement controls in one plot. Here I consider two scenarios. One is the neutrino coupled dark matter, which is the one I just mentioned, and the other one is neutrino coupled electromagnetically, namely solid lines. So along each line, dark matter mass varies from this point around like 20 MeV to smaller values. If these lines are inside the controls, then namely it means that dark matter mass is allowed by the saving measurements. So we can see from this plot, we can see that if we use the measurements from Planck or from Planck together with the small scale CMB measurements from ETH or STP, the light dark matter masses will be ruled out by the CMB measurements. So in this work, I just presented the comprehensive lower bounds on light thermorelic dark matter mass from different combination of the data sets. These two plots just is a brief summary, and for example, if we combine the abundance, the measurements from helium and deuterium together with all three CMB measurements, we can find that dark matter mass lower than 11 MeV is ruled out by the at 95% confidence level. In this work, I also did some forecasts based on the upcoming small scale measurements. So, for example, if we combine the BBM measurements together with this CMBS4, and we can get a tighter constraints on dark matter mass with like 15 MeV as a lower limit at 95% confidence level. So, also based from this work, I just found that BBN is a very sensitive probe. At energy scale from keV to MeV. So I'm wondering if we can just test the test the early universe evolution from BBM measurements only without assuming any specific dark matter models. So this is the next work. I've done reconstruction of the early universe history from BBN measurements only. And this plot shows the reconstruction of the radiation temperature from BBN measurements of helium and deuterium. In this work, I just first do the Fischer metric analysis to determine the redshift beam that captures the most information around the point during this BBN process. And then presented MCMC analysis and
We should
to
stay at home in bed all the time. That's the trouble.
I'm sorry? Anyone has questions?
So I think that was just background noise. Sorry, go ahead.
No worries. Okay. Yeah. And feel free to interrupt me if you have any questions. Okay. So and then I just presented MCMC analysis and put constraints on the beam parameters of temperature variations. And then this plot it shows here, it shows the mean values and also the
Sorry,
Y sigma.
can I ask a question? This
Yes,
looks
sure.
very interesting. Do you by any chance have the plot of the covariance of this
Yes,
measurement?
yes, yes. I have this one in my paper, in
Okay.
appendix. Yes, it
Okay.
shows the correlation between the this temperature parameters in redshift beams.
And I mean, okay, so I guess I can look it up having, but can you shortly say, respond like how correlated are these, like the biggest and the smallest bins? Are they very correlated or not correlated very much?
For this redshift beams, basically, it shows that positive correlation between each other.
Okay, I see.
Yes.
And this is just based on what data are you using here?
Using the measurements of helium and deuterium abundance.
Okay, so just two
Just
numbers.
two.
I
Yes,
see.
just two numbers.
Okay. Thanks.
Oh, no problem. Okay. So basically in this plot, I just present the first data point, first constraints on this temperature in the very early universe. And here I also show some late time measurements. And in the future work, I'm wondering if we can fill in this intermedium range with the upcoming measurements. And also using the same method, we also present the reconstruction of the expansion history from these BBM measurements. So this blue region is derived from the measurements of helium and deuterium abundance, which is the baseline results in this work. Just note that here I smooth the curves and edges of this region. And we can see that this blue region is consistent with this dashed line, which is the standard BBM evolution. However, if we add this, the other two measurements of helium-3 and lithium-7, then we can see there are large deviations to this standard BBM evolution. This is due to this lithium problem, namely the standard BBM predict abundance of lithium-7 is a factor of like 3 to 4 higher than its observed values. So based from this model independent analysis, we find that these large deviations to the standard BBM evolution around and soon after the onset of nucleus may be a possible solution to this lithium problem. This makes me think that if we can find some like dark matter models, for example, dark matter annihilation that can capture this can solve that to solve these problems. So I will leave this work in the future and see if we can find some interesting new physics and to solve this lithium problem. Okay. So
Sorry, like just to
yes.
clarify for me, so how much better is the fit to lithium 7 for this green curve compared to the blue?
So if we take this evolution and the predicted abundance of lithium is consistent with the observed value in two sigma level.
Oh, okay, yeah, and currently, can you remind me how discrepant the values are?
Currently the BBM, like the theoretical predictions is around like 5.6, and for the observed values is around like 1. The mean value is around 1.6. So it's a like a factor of 3 to 4 lower than the prediction abundance.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's written there. Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, great. Okay, so if you instead plotted like ineffective versus time, would the ineffective be monotonic, I guess, or not?
You mean in this work?
Yeah, I mean,
In this work,
does this
in this work,
history with this like
we.
wiggly, green curve, would that correspond to a wiggly ineffective versus time?
Yes, I guess, but here all the changes in this work. So here it shows faster expansion, but all the deviations caused by this faster expansion can be called like brought back by this later lower expansion rate. So basically it won't change anything at later time.
Oh, okay. Huh. Okay, interesting. Thanks.
Yes. Oh, no problem. Okay, so I'm gonna continue. From previous work, we already know that this dark matter, light thermoretic dark matter mass can affect the ZMB spectrum through its effects on helium abundance and ineffective. On the other side, the non-gravitational interactions between standard model and the dark matter can affect the same base spectrum in a more direct way. For example, if we consider there are scattering between dark matter and the baryons, there will be energy momentum transfer between these two components. It will affect the growth of perturbation and then in turn affect the same B spectrum. So the previous work has have placed the upper limit on the cross sections based on this Planck data, and we can see that these red regions are ruled out by the same B data. However, I just found that in all this previous work, they just didn't consider the effects from light dark matter mass, namely these regions. So I'm wondering if we consider this dark matter particle as a thermal relic, it means it can affect the early history through its light mass. So in principle, we should include this effect into the study of this dark matter and the baryon scattering model. So then I just test this one. I just tested this model and find that for these four models, the scattering between dark matter and the baryon is sufficient enough in the pre-recombination universe that can maintain dark matter in thermal equilibrium with the rest of the plasma in very early universe. This means in this model, in the analysis of this model, we should include the effects from the light dark matter mass when we doing the CMB data analysis. So thus, I just created a new Boltzmann class code with the added ability of simultaneously accounting for the effects from light thermal relic dark matter mass and also the dark matter baryon scattering cross section, and then present a self-consistent bound, semi bounds on this interacting thermal relic dark matter model. We can see that this blue regions is this new bound. We can see that, and here where I also show the semi upper limits on the cross section in this dark matter and the baryon scattering model only, and also show the BBN bounds on the light dark matter mass only. And we can see that modeling these two effects simultaneously can lead to an improvement of the CMB sensitivities to these two individual parameters. So this work will be posted online shortly. So you can find more details in this analysis. And then I will just move directly to the late time measurements, namely say what can we learn about dark matter from near field. So this plot shows the matter power spectrum within different dark matter mod within several dark matter models, which all can lead to the suppression at small scales. So this extremely small scales corresponds to the halo mass around 10 to the 10 to 10 to the 8 solar masses, which can be best mapped by the small scale probes, like the substructure within Milky Way satellite, and the measurements of which can be used to place constraints on the properties of this dark matter model. So I will consider warm dark matter model as an example and see and show how it works. So if we run a high resolution zooming simulation of Milky Way like system, so for this in CDM model, we can get the this substructure as shown in this left plot. But for warm dark matter model, due to the suppression of the structure formation, we can say that the low mass halos is we can see that the low mass heat that host the mercury cyclate is suppressed in scenarios. So what the thing we need to do is just to account the number of the detected faint galaxies and then compare them to the predictions of simulation, and then we can get the put constraints on this warm dark matter model. So here I just show these three zooming simulations of nuclear-like system within three warm dark matter models. We can see that for warm dark matter model with 3 keV, very little substructure is visible in this 3 keV simulation. And for this 6.5 keV simulation, the structure is only slightly different from this 10 keV simulation, which is similar to the cold dark matter simulation. So if we combine this our simulation result the predictions with the galaxy halo convection model together with the observations of Milky Way satellite population, they in the previous work they just get this warm dark matter mass limits, namely the masses lower than 6.5 keV are ruled out at 95% confidence level. So we can see that this Milky Way satellite observations is a very strong tool to test the dark matter models that can lead to suppression of structure formation at small scales. So then just I'm wondering if we can just use these props to test another model which has a similar suppression at small scales, namely the stellar neutrino dark matter. So neutrino-like particle has long been considered as a dark matter candidate. However, the three non-active neutrino are too hot to form the structure of dark matter that is consistent with the current observation. So back to netting, Dodson Window came up with the idea that there are new neutrino called stellar neutrino, and allow it to go through that mixing with active neutrino. And each active neutrino produced through the standard interaction can experience the stellar active oscillation with a small probability of conversion to a near stellar mass eigenstate. So this oscillation cycle can repeat any time can repeat many times until the active neutrino decoupling, at which point the final dark matter abundance is set. So this DW mechanism, however, is in tension with the previous X-ray limit. So as shown in this plot, which shows the parameter space of this stellar neutrino dark matter mass and the mixing angle between these two neutrinos. This black line is allowed by this DW mechanism, and this blue region is ruled out by this X-ray limits. So we can see that basically these two are in tension with each other. So a very simple solution to this problem is to introduce a self-interaction among the active neutrinos. So this new force enables more frequent active neutrino scattering than this normal weak interaction. So in this case, this dark matter can be produced with a smaller mixing angle than this DW mechanism. So namely, in this plot, all the regions below this black line are allowed by this new mechanism. So if we combine with this X-ray limit, this wet regions of the parameter space is allowed by both constraints from this DW mechanism and also X-ray limit. So in this model, there are two production mechanisms. One is through this heavy mediator, namely dark matter produces active neutrino scattering, and the other one is for this light mediator scenario where the standard neutrino is mainly produced through the mediator decay. So In this plot, I just show the parameter space of the mediator mass and the self-interacting strings, and this S curve is constrained by the current dark matter abundance, given fixed the dark matter mass and the mixing angle. Based on this, based on the shape of this curve, I divided this model into three cases. This case A corresponds to the dark matter production through a heavy mediator and a strong self-interaction, and case B and C corresponds to the scenario where dark matter production is through a light mediator. So in different cases will result in different phase space distribution, which will lead to different phase dreamlines and resulting in different suppression at the small scale. Assuming this plot, we can see that the suppression of the matter power spectrum in this model is very similar to the one in warm dark matter model. So thus we can just use the observations of Milky Way satellite galaxies to test this dark matter theory. So then we show our result over here. In the scenario of light mediator, we can see that combining our analysis of Milky Way satellite populations together with the particle cloud bounds, and we can find that this model is heavily constrained, and only this white triangle is allowed by the combination of these three data sets: Milky Way satellite, light bounds, and also X-ray. However, for this heavy mediator case, we found that this production scenario is completely ruled out by the combination of these three data sets. We can see there is no white triangle, no white ridges in this plot. This is a very interesting result since it's just ruled out, since we know that combining all these measurements, it can rule out a very popular dark matter production case, so which has deep implications for the dark matter searches. So from all this previous work, so we know that this Milky Way like system is can lead to can result like leading constraints on the dark matter properties. So and also, we know that with the next generation small scale data, comprehensive studies of this Milky Way like system is within different dark matter models is very important. So in the following, we just currently I'm working on this zooming cosmological simulations of Milky Way like system with for different dark matter models, including warm dark matter and fuzzy dark matter and interacting dark matter with different values of n. The reason we choose this model is because that we can see that the slope of the cutoff are different, and also it also has this big oscillation, namely BAO features. And the different shapes of the cutoff and its BAO feature can both affect the substructure within the Milky Way satellite. So in principle, this the shape of this power spectrum cutoff can be reconstructed with the further with the future small scale probes. So this is so this this so in this work we're also trying to build a full self-consistent pipeline of this zooming simulations of Milky Way like system, including generating the initial conditions and running zooming simulations. Post the analysis, seeing the simulation results, and also generating new simulation data, and together with the likelihood analysis to put constraints on dark matter properties. And I'm gonna use this pipeline to also test other dark matter models of interest in the future. And also, I also plan to just publish this pipeline with these papers. And another interesting thing that I think we can we can focus on is that with the the within the next generation simulation data, for example, the Rubin Observatory is expected to detect a large number of new Milky Way like system, like stellar streams and strong lensing system. So joint modeling of these small scale probes is also very important work that I plan to work on. And I also plan to just implement this modeling into this pipeline I'm building on. So this would be a very interesting work and very useful in the future.
Yeah, my ask here just to understand a bit better. So,
Yes.
so when you say okay, you simulate like Milky Way type system and compare it with the actual observation, right? That's what I understand. So yeah, so
Yes.
what is the key physical thing? Is it suppression of number of satellites or change in their mass function? Actually, yeah, kind of what are you are comparing in the two simulations or?
Yeah, we're comparing to the number of the subhalos.
Just the number of satellites, and
The number of faint galaxies.
like total number or kind of as a function of their mass or no, just
Yes,
total.
number as a function of mass.
I see. And how many simulated galaxies you actually have, like Milky Way like galaxies in your simulation? For example, with this warm dark matter with neutrino, you know, stellar neutrino dark matter.
I'm sorry, can you repeat
Yeah,
your question?
how many Milky Way type galaxies you have in the simulations with neutrinos, with sterile neutrino dark matter?
How many numbers, you mean the numbers of the subhalos in the
No,
simulation?
the how many Milky Ways you have? How many like big galaxies,
How
right? Because
many
you need
Milky
to
Way?
build
We
some
just
statistics,
run,
right?
yeah, which so in this work, we just focus on like one Milky Way galaxy, like halo 0004, like one isolated Milky Way system.
Oh, but then what is the confidence of ruling out? Because yeah, after all, you know, like you have to compare it to distributions, and I wonder, yeah, if one galaxy is enough to argue anything.
Yes,
No.
but no, we didn't consider that. We only consider this isolated Milky Way like system.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for your questions.
Well, just to follow up on that question, I mean, like, you know,
Yes.
so did you set up the initial conditions, you know, in some way to maybe match the local environment of the Milky Way or not?
The so this the only so now we use this gadget to run this simulation, and the only way we change the only thing we change is the this suppression of the matter power spectrum. So
Right,
we use
no,
the
right.
music.
But my question was whether, you know, like my question was whether or not the initial conditions were set up, you know, to be constrained, you know, to match the local environment, you know. So Sergey's question is about like sample variance, basically, right? You know, but if you had, you know, set up the ICs to be constrained to match the local realization. Then then perhaps then like a small number of simulations might be okay. I was just wondering if that's what you had done.
Yes, that's what we have done.
Okay. Like you know, so what aspects of the local environment were you matching? Like the presence of Andromeda or something like that, or.
Yes, I think yes, I think so. Yes,
Okay.
I can get you to details in the later. So
Okay, great. All right, thanks.
yes. Thank you for your questions. Okay, so how many times do I have?
Let's see. So it's 36, it's like 20-ish minutes.
Okay, great. Okay, so then I will continue to introduce what can we learn about dark matter from this large-scale structure. So this is the work. This is the work led by our PhD students, where I co-advised, and we found that the suppression of the matter power spectrum at small scales is a possible way to solve this as tension between the measurements of the large scale structure and the CMB data. So here in this work, we focus on this this case where dark matter, where only like 10% of dark matter is interacting with baryons. The reason we consider like this fraction is because we know that the observations of Milky Way satellite system can place very tight constraints on the cross section, and if we only consider like 10% of this dark matter and the barriers, if we only consider like 10% of dark matter is interacting with the barrier, then this the constraints we get is allowed by this small scale structural measurements. So as shown in this plot, we can see that considering this, only considering this fraction of dark matter interacting with barons, we can still limit this S8 tension. And also if we add this S, the S8 prior from the DS measurements, we can find that there is, we can find a preference for the non-zero, from non-zero gathering cross-sections are shown in this green line. So based on this work, we just found that the key to solve this as tension is maybe just the suppression of the power spectrum at small scales. So we're gonna continue to just explore more models in this as a tension problem. Probably I'm also wondering if we can just study this tension in a model independent way. So this is also the future work I'm gonna focus on. And also another thing, we test in using the large scale structure data is to search for the neutrino self-interaction to see if we can find the presence of neutrino interaction. So in this work is also led by this graduate student, Adam He, and where I co-advised. And we can see that in this plot, we just show the constraints on this self-interacting strings of neutrino self-interactions together with the free parameters of neutrino mass using the Planck data, and together with these three measurements of large scale structure. And we can see that this large scale structure strongly prefers this self-interacting neutrinos. This is a very interesting result. However, this neutrino self interactions with very strong coupling strings is ruled out the previous lab experiments. So I'm wondering just if we only consider like one flavor specific neutrinos, like from like the tau specific neutrinos, if we can find a model that favors the presence of neutrino self interaction while also consistent with the previous lab constraints. So this would be also a very interesting project I'm gonna focus on in the future.
Can I ask something here? So it says that, you know, like the data used were Planck data. Does that mean just like the Planck primary anisotropies? Does it also include CMB lensing?
Yes, this one including anisotropies as well as Sam Bin Laden.
Okay, great. Okay. So it includes, you know, like the results that Plong Thunzing is consistent with, like, you know, the normalization from the primary and isotropies.
Yes. Those data are consistent.
Okay. But you still favor this large interaction, you're saying, even though
this, yeah, if we check this 1D posterior distribution on the self-interacting strings, we can see that if we only consider this Planck data, it shows a preference for this weak interaction, and it only shows a small preference for the strong interaction term. But if we include all the other three measurements from the large scale structure data, we can see that it shows a very strong preference for this interacting self-interacting strings.
Okay.
So the posterior distribution, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for your question. Oh, and also I want to mention that within this this scenario, we can also find that there is a non-zero preference for the neutrino mass. This is also another interesting finding.
So can I ask also here? So yeah, what's the physical effect that actually makes this interaction preferred? Can you explain, like, what's the physics behind?
Yes. So here we also compare the delta chi-square in these different data sets, compare this the delta chi-square in this self-interacting neutrino model to the delta chi-square in the standard lambda CDR model. And we found that the reason why this large-scale structured data shows such strong preference for this self-interacting strings is comes from this lambda alpha data set. So since this lambda alpha data set is I can show you, I have some backup slides. So here we can see that this shows the slope of the metal power spectrum over the these scales of the linear metal power spectrum for this self-interacting neutrino cosmology. So here we can see that this is the lambda alpha data set. So we can see it is consistent with the self-interacting, with the strong self-interaction. So this value corresponds to a strong self-interaction. So we can see that it is most favored by this lambda alpha data set. But for the other scenarios, namely the Planck, the lambda CM best fit curve, and also for the very weak self-interaction scenarios, and for the medial self-interacting strengths, for these other three cases, they are all not consistent with this lambda alpha data. So this is the key point that drives the preference for the strong self-interacting neutrinos.
Wait, sorry. Like so the gray has no self-interaction, and then blue is the smallest, and orange then green. Like, do you understand why this behavior is not monotonic?
The behavior of this. Oh, I see. So see here, we change all the other parameters. We not only change this one parameters. So here we just show the best fit values of all the three parameters in each model.
Oh.
Yes, we just the. Yeah, so did that answer your question?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just okay. It's just interesting that with this, like, you know, like with this, like, green curve, for example, which has this huge interaction, You're saying that by adjusting other parameters, you can kind of bring it back to Lambda CDM at scales of K around.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. So these are the this curve shows the corresponds to the best fit values of all the parameters in these models.
Okay, yeah. Oh, there's a question from Jesse.
Okay.
Hey,
Hi,
sort of
Jesse.
on hi, thanks.
Hi.
I'm really enjoying your talk. Sort of on this, sort of iterating off of Neil's question, do you have a sense of like what other parameters or other sets of parameters this interaction has the most degeneracy with? Or are there degeneracies that are important to think about?
The degeneracy. So, another thing. So, if I go back to the. So if we go back to this plot, we can see that we can find no interest in this degeneracy, but if we check the full posterior plot in this paper, we can see that it has degeneracy with the parameters that relate to the metapower spectrum. So this is the main effect from the neutrino self-impaction in this model.
So when you switch to the model or to this peak with the high interaction strength,
Yes.
so it looks like S8 neutrino mass don't shift that much, but does that mean like NS and AS shift a lot? Or like are do other parameter best fits dramatically? Or I can check out your paper, but this.
Oh yes, this S8, I mean this S8 tension, this so if you check the power spectrum in this model, it can also lead to a suppression at small scales. So of course it will alleviate this S8 tension as I just mentioned. Thank you for
Thank you.
question. So I'll continue. So after we talk about the large scale structure, then I will briefly introduce what can we learn about dark matter mass about dark matter properties from this 21-centimeter cosmology. Okay, so we studied this 21-centimeter signal in the context of dark matter and barren scattering model with n equals minus 4. So we know that agents report measurements of 21 centimeter signal and the amplitude of which is inconsistent with the standard model predictions. And this can be explained by dark matter by the cooling dark co cooling barren temperature. So this study has been previous this study has been presented in previous work, and this in our analysis, we just in addition to this known effects on the thermal history of hydrogen, we also including the effects of the scattering on structure formation. This work is led by Choi, which who is also a PhD candidate in at USC. This is also the project I co-advised, and we can see that since the effects of the scatter, we can from this plot we can see that if we only consider this plot shows the effects if we include the impact from the scattering on structure formation, we can see that it leads to a key impact on the 21 centimeter signal. So it cannot be negligible in the it cannot be that forget in the study of this dark matter model. So in this work, considering both effects, then we just find that this type of dark matter and the scattering model is also consistent with this edge signal, and this parameter space can be further constrained by this edge signal. So if you are interested in this work, then we can just talk later. And also based on this work, I just found that so here we just do this analysis by choosing multiple values of sigma naught given dark matter masses, and calculate the 21 centimeter signal, and then compare it to the edges, the depths, and the timing. And we can, so that's why the curves of this region is not smooth. So this makes me think that since in the next decade, and also currently, there are a lot of measurements are currently trying to measure the 21 centimeter, the sky average 21 centimeter signal, as well as the 21 centimeter power spectrum. So it would be very important if I could just build cosmological likelihood for the 21 centimeter signal that can simultaneously account for the physical foreground model, as well as the 21 centimeter model that including the effects from new physics such as dark matter properties and also dark energy properties, something like this. And this likelihood can be called by the MCMC samplers like Cobaya or the Monty Python, and it would be very useful to probe this 21 centimeter signal within any non-standard cosmological models. So this is also another work I plan to focus on in the future. So then I will briefly summarize the work I've done on this dark matter projects. And the first thing that we placed the lower bounds on thermolytic dark matter mass from the measurements of BBMSMB. And also we construct the early universe evolution from BBM measurements, and also combine the effects from thermolytic dark matter mass and also the scattering between baryon and matter and place self-consistent same bounds. And I also use the small scale structure data to probe the stellar neutrino dark matter and ruled out a very popular dark matter production scenarios. And also we found that the suppression of the matter power spectrum at specific scales can alleviate this S-tension, and also found that the neutrino self-interaction is strongly favored by the large-scale structure data. And finally, the 21 centimeter, when we consider 21 centimeter, we should also include in the effects from the structure formation in addition to the effects of thermal history. So these are the work I've done on the dark matter and using the props from early universe to late universe. So I'm sorry, how many time have?
Oh, maybe like a couple of more minutes if you need.
Oh, a couple more minutes. Then I should stop here because I also have some slides to introduce my work on dark energy and modified gravity. But I will leave that for the questions, I guess.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Okay, great, thanks so much. So let's all give Rui a round of applause for her great talk.
Thank you.
Okay, so since we are right on time, then there is time for further questions. So are there further questions for the speaker? I mean, if not, then maybe I can ask you to give a brief description of the stuff you were planning to talk about.
Yes, okay.
Sure.
So What drives the late time cosmic acceleration? Is it dark energy or modified gravity? So first I studied FR, modified gravity, with non-numerical plane between the matter and the geometry. And doing the phase-based analysis of this model, and we found that showing this plot, different point corresponds to different times in the universe. So for example, this one corresponds to the radiation dominated, and this point corresponds to the matter dominated, and this point corresponds to the late acceleration dominated. We found that in this model, it can describe the evolution of our universe from radiation dominated to matter to this matter dominated and then to late time acceleration. So I just proved that this model is a valid model to describe the evolution of our universe based on this phase-based analysis. And also I compared this model with the current observations and find that it is also consistent with the current observation. So this is a very interesting finding. So, and in addition to this modified gravity, I also studied some dark energy models. Namely, we know that most of the content in our universe are dark matter and dark energy. So it is natural to consider there are interaction between these two dark sectors. So here we just studied these interactions in this to trying to find that if this interaction can alleviate hesitation. And here, this plot shows the result we get. We found that due to the energy transfer between these two dark components, and we find that it is able to alleviate this acid tension between the weakness in measurements and also the CME measurements. So, and in addition to this model, we also present this cosmological simulations of large scale structure within this dark matter and the dark energy model, and to say the energy flow between these two components, to see the effects of this interaction on the large scale structure formation. Here I showed the our simulation results. One, the left one is for lambda scale model, the right one is for interacting dark matter and dark energy model, where energy flows from dark matter to dark energy. So we can see that the structure is surprised compared to this lambda scale model since their energy flow, their energy transferred from dark matter to dark energy. And the next one, I showed the 3D structure at present day, so we can clearly see substructure within this box. Okay, so based on our simulation results, and then we do the calculate the matter, the nonlinear matter power spectrum within this based on our simulations, and also do the halo analysis, and then we compare this our simulation predictions with the large scale structure data, and find that this parameter shows corresponds to the indicates the constraining the interacting strains between this dark matter and the dark energy. We can find that if we include the measurements from a small from large structure, it can put lead to a the constraints on this interaction are vastly improved using this measurements from this week from weak cleansing. So this is a very strong improvement if we include this small scale measurements and also together with this simulation. So this is also a very interesting problem. And based on this work, we also built a simulation pipeline for this interacting dark matter and dark energy model, which can also be applied for the other models where dark matter and dark energy interactions or even for other non-standard cosmological models. And I also plan to use this pipeline to study the other non-standard dark matter models and to try to see if we can find something interesting in that area. So yes, so basically this is the brief introduction
All right, thank
to this
you.
works.
Yeah, okay, great. Are there further questions for the speaker? Okay, if not, then we can stop here.